Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business on this sunny day. And thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Friday, the 6th of September at 6:31. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to Jess Kelly about large language models and Grok. And we'll be chatting to the boss of Emirates here in Ireland and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the unmatched company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Were you up early last Saturday morning by any chance in front of your laptop?
I was.
And?
I was. And I have secured a set of tickets, yes, and I didn't have to mortgage a small house to get them. So I'm very happy.
Did you have to sell a child or a car?
Well, I don't have either to do that, so I'm okay in that regard.
Well, well done to you. Everyone else was pretty angry by the end of the morning. Shall we start with the Irish economy? It hit a bump in the road in Q2.
Yeah, it did. It's this classic thing with the economic stats in Ireland. If you look at the GDP, which most economists look at for most countries, it saw an unexpected contraction of about 1% in the second quarter due to multinational output and exports falling. And this was down from a previous estimate that the economy actually grew 1.2%. Now, the problem with that is because of the nature of the Irish economy, GDP is not necessarily the best measure for the Irish economy. So an awful lot of economists in Ireland use what's called the modified domestic demand. It's just a more accurate measure of the underlying domestic activity. Now, it did fall by 0.5% in the second quarter. But if you look at it on a year-over-year basis, it actually grew by 1.5%, which is not a million miles from the 2% growth rate for the economy as a whole so far in 2024. So it's not too bad. Now, you know, there was a lot of mixed pictures in terms of different sectors, and certainly one that has been under a little bit of pressure has definitely been the pharmaceutical one in the second quarter. But again, that tends to be very, very lumpy, so I wouldn't read too much through it. But I think elsewhere there was decent news in terms of the exchequer data on tax receipts. Again, corporation tax is very, very strong, but other tax receipts continue to grow as well in August, albeit at a kind of a lower pace than we saw in July, but still reasonably decent.
Yeah, VAT receipts, which are more reflective of the domestic economy, were up substantially in August, and as were income tax. which is good. I guess one individual quarter from the national accounts is not fair to look at. You kind of need to compare the trend. And the trend in the first half of this year compared to the first half of last year is definitely up, and up substantially. But yeah, I mean, people will pick up on the fact that GDP and modified domestic demand are both falling.
Yeah. And as I said, again, you know, the other thing to bear in mind is it's in the middle of the summer, so you have a lot of holiday time and things like that. So, you know, particularly from corporations can take downtime through the summer months and things like that. So, and, you know, I think when you, as you say, when you look at the overall trend, it remains positive. So that's the thing to hang our hat on.
Yeah, let's stay with macroeconomic stuff on either side of the Atlantic. I presume a Eurozone rate cut is now nailed on because the inflation trend is in the right direction.
Yeah, look, I think if you look at the market right now, we're pricing in two interest rate cuts between now and the end of the year. I would think the ECB probably have scope for a one anyway. And I think the big issue really is, you know, they're trying to balance the very weak domestic demand that we're seeing right across the whole of Europe with inflation that is getting better, but probably not as well behaved as the ECB would like to be to have it to be more aggressive on interest rates. So I think we probably will definitely see one more interest rate cut in Europe. And then it's a kind of it might well be a coin toss for the second one into the end of the year.
Yeah. And in terms of the United States, we had some interesting data out yesterday in terms of the number of job openings in the United States fell. And now people are starting to price a 50 basis point interest rate cut this month.
Yeah. I think, again, if you look at it, there's four interest rate, or well, a 1% interest rate cut priced into the market in the US between now and the end of the year. The problem that the Federal Reserve has is they've only three meetings left, and the middle meeting is 2 days after the election. So it's unlikely that they would ever do anything in that meeting unless they really had to. So if the market is right and you've got 100 basis points of cuts, the question is, how do you get them? I suppose the one thing I would say is, given the rhetoric out of the Federal Reserve, it seems less likely that the first move they're going to make in terms of interest rates will be to cut by 0.5%. It'll be more likely that they'd kind of do it in a moderated fashion and maybe start with a quarter. So if they do that, that means you've got three quarters in December. I don't see that likely happening. And I think the other thing too is, although, as you said, the jobs data from the job openings from the JOLTS survey was worse than expected, and even the ADP data was worse than expected. When you're looking at some of the other economic data out there, the likes of the ISM on services yesterday was much better than expected. So there is kind of mixed data out there, both good and bad. So again, that leads to the idea that maybe the Fed won't be as gung-ho in terms of going for 50 basis points in September.
Now let's move to our regular slot in which we discuss something to do with Elon Musk. During the week, we were talking about Starlink and we were talking about X in Brazil. But now we're going to talk about Tesla cars, because they're set to release a full self-driving vehicle in China and Europe early next year.
Yeah, they was released on the X account yesterday, and they said they're going to pending a regulatory review, they're going to try to release it in Europe and in China. Now, I think there's a few things here. It's not quite fully autonomous driving yet, because even Tesla will admit they actually haven't solved that issue yet. So they're saying they're going to try to improve what they call FSD, or full self-driving, throughout this year, and potentially deploy it in the US, and then look to deploy it in the early next year. Now, Elon Musk said this at the quarterly earnings. The the interesting thing is, a lot of the bears are just jumping on it and saying this is just more of the same from Musk, as he's trying to pump his share price at every opportunity he can get. And that in reality, the idea of full self-drive is a bit of a misnomer, because it actually doesn't allow for complete autonomous driving as of today. So, the PR battle will continue between the bulls and bears on this stock. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I had a look at the share price. The share price was pumped yesterday. It was up 4.9% yesterday, down ever so slightly overnight in the grey market. But let's see how that happens. Any plans for the weekend, Aidan?
It's going to be a quiet one. It's going to be a quiet one.
No barbecue being lit up in your giant estate?
No, I might try to think. If the weather stays good today, you never know. Might do it tonight.
Indeed. All right, Aidan, have a lovely weekend and enjoy the sunshine. That is Aidan Donnelly from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.